it was very naive how it started. It was just like us at Matt's place. It's like 2 a.m. and the Rankins are playing, and we just start talking about how we want to write a song like that reminds us of home, kind of thing. And then Matt wrote Him After Him, and we wrote 3 more songs, and we thought they were going to be put it out as Mardine. Like we didn't even think it would be a separate thing. And then I remember we shared it with like Matt Charlton.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
And shout out to Matt Charlton. I haven't seen him forever. We sent it to him and he really liked it. And he was just like, let's have a talk at Freeman's.
Where deals go down.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're open late.
Yes. Yeah.
And we had a beer at Freeman's and he was just like, you guys should do this, but like have it as a separate project. We're just like, what? You can do that?
The trad band Villages will play its first Halifax show in nearly 2 years, Saturday at the Marquee. Matt and Travis from the band will drop by the show to talk about recalibrating expectations, their rock past as Mardine, and what's next for them. I'm Tara Thorne, and this is The Tideline. Darkness, my old friend. How about that time change? How's it treating you? It's a kick in the ass every year. Ole and Rankin, remember him, is trying to defeat daylight saving time now. It's saving, by the way, singular, not savings. Daylight saving time, which seems like an issue he could have taken up when he was premier, but he was too busy trying to leverage his upcoming baby for votes. Whoops. So Palmer and I spent last weekend grumping our way through Truro at Nova Scotia Music Week, where we learned about producer deal points and co-writing, amongst other things, saw a bunch of shows, did a bunch of schmoozing. Now, you may not be able to tell from my general demeanor, but I am actually a very good schmoozer, a very good schmoozer. And there were a lot of people I hadn't seen in years, and I was legit excited to chat with them. So congrats to last week's guest, Allegra Swanson, and the staff of Music Nova Scotia for a successful return to a live event. And I hear a different town next year. So we'll see what that turns out to be. I have some thoughts, but I don't want to jinx it. I also want to shout out a few winners because there's an award show that goes along with this. And I'm just going to tell you the ones that have been on this show. I'm not saying that that's an indicator of winning, but I'm not saying that. So Keontae Beals was leading the pack with 8 nominations, and by my count, he picked up 3 for African Nova Scotian, Inspirational, and R&B, Soul Recording of the Year. You also had Best Hip Hop Recording was Bleeding Gums Murphy, and Aquaculture is part of that group, and that band also won 2 awards on its own for Alternative Recording of the Year and Group Recording of the Year for Legacy. Tara Spencer picked up Folk Recording of the Year. And Keeper E, who has not been on the show as an interview yet, but I've played for sure, picked up New Artist Recording. Like a Motorcycle picked up Rock Recording. And SoCan Songwriter of the Year, big fan of this song, Bria Isabel, who he had on the show back when her song Girlfriends dropped. So, another successful year at Music Nova Scotia. Oh, by the way, Musician of the Year, big, 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 big fan of this person, Tori Cameron, bassist extraordinaire. She's in Town Heroes. She's in Hello Delaware. She's in her own band, Cameron. She'll pinch hit for anybody. She's been in my band once even. Very talented, very humble, great performer. Was so happy to see that. We've got Matt and Travis Ellis waiting in the wings, but first, let's hear something from their band, Villages. They just released a live video for this track this week, and it's from their debut EP, Upon the Horizon. This is Glistening Hum.
Sunrise, stole the flux in time now. together. The crows now come together, chasing any spell, drowning out that arrow. Gone, gone are the days of a memory to fade. The dawning of the day now, a better off here somehow. Life's raised in the downs, and all while I'm numb with the glistening arms. All while I'm numb with the glistening arms. All while I'm numb with the glistening arms. Thoughts of you still wallow, lost in mossy meadows, in the winters of my mind. I'm pulled by a dull wind and a dull drum. Gone are the days of a memory to fade. The dawning of the day now, a better off here somehow. Life's raised in the downs, and all while I'm numb with the glistening arms. All while I'm numb with the glistening arms. All while I'm numb with the glistening arms.
Nice to see you. I think you're the first. You're not the first brothers I have had in here, because Kai Clayton brought his little brother along.
We're not brothers.
We're not brothers.
No.
Everybody thinks we are.
What?
Yeah.
Look at me. I just won Media Professional of the Year. Straight out of the gate. Wrong facts. Is it just a Cape Breton thing?
We're first cousins.
Yeah, cousins.
Yeah.
Oh, you're cousins.
Matt, John, and I are all first cousins.
Yes, I knew John was in there somewhere.
Yeah, John and I are actually double first cousins, so we're actually basically brothers.
Okay.
Same gene pool. It's like my mom and his dad are brother and sister, and my dad and his mom are brother and sister.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. Now I feel this show's going great. It's lucky you're nice. My Liam and Noel Gallagher jokes, I just had to throw them away.
Damn.
They would not be this nice. So, you know, this is a conversation I've been having a lot, which is what plans did COVID ruin of yours? And you guys had a lot of plans.
Yeah.
So tell me about those.
Yeah, we had a lot of plans. COVID really popped off when we were in Hamilton. Touring and
I was also in Hamilton. That was my last place before the COVID.
That was like the scariest day of my life, I think.
Right.
We had a show in Hamilton that night, and it was just like the world was coming down. Like,
oh, you were there like March 13th, like the Friday the 13th kind of deal.
Yeah. It was bad, yeah.
Wasn't it like that day like
the NBA Sophie, got shut down. Yeah, Sophie, like Sophie Trudeau got COVID, and
something about Tom Hanks. Maybe
Tom
that's
Hanks
the same.
Got COVID. That yeah, it was just yeah, a was crazy. Like, oh, the world's
you know, if it's getting
right
the celebrities,
now.
It's I know, real.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
this feels real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just watching in a hotel room outside Hamilton, just being like, what is going on?
And I assume you had driven.
Yeah.
So just like a furious drive.
The
home.
Drive home was crazy. Yeah, yeah. Just like trying not to touch anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And like constantly on your phone. Like
exactly.
Oh yeah. Everyone's thinking they have it.
But yeah, like in terms of plans, like we had like a summer of festival dates that got canceled, and yeah, it was definitely going to be a good summer for us. But yeah,
and you also had your record was what came out, and you were supposed to have, I believe, a show in December.
Yeah,
I remember at the convention center. There's like a, yeah. I think two maybe successful shows at this convention center thing,
right.
And then you and Jen got whacked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think it got pushed twice. Actually, then we just had to cancel it in the end.
So is the show this weekend, is it counting as your record release?
I guess so, yeah. It's like actually a year to the date since our record, our EP came out, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all part of the plan. Yeah.
So what is your connection? Because, you know, I think a lot of people listening to this show know how records work, but some people don't, which is generally, you know, the songs, they might be new, they might be 5 years old, mm-hmm. and then you put them out, and then you wait. Like, it's a lot of waiting. So it's like you're years out from the songs when they finally come out, so now you're an extra year out from them.
Right.
What is your relationship to them now?
For me, they just, like, it's just, like, reminds me of COVID so
I know,
much.
Yeah, I kind of, yeah. We just, yeah, I know. We just came out of the studio, recorded a full-length record.
Right.
And I kind of forgot that we're like probably talking about that EP.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're so removed.
When we got back from that tour where COVID was blowing up, that's when we just started writing the EP, and we did it all socially distanced, like wrote like virtually.
Yeah.
Just kind of sharing like logic files mm-hmm. between us. And so it's just, yeah, it has that lockdown vibe.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
How is that different from the way you normally do it?
We always write in a room together.
Right.
Yeah. So it was a big change for us to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice for the record we just recorded. We, you know, it was very much in a room. So it was a nice to get back to that.
So Matt, I used to talk to you probably once a year or something, and I'd be like, Mardine, because you had Mardine and Villages kind of going at the same time. But I get the sense, or the press release that came out this week says Mardine's in the past. Is this true, first of all? I guess it's sort of like kind of never, right?
That's the thing. It's like we've never actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
Called it.
Never called it. No. I can see down the road doing something, but this is not, you know, this is Village is definitely the focus.
Sure. So Mardine, a very different band, very exact same people,
yeah.
But very different kind of a band. When did you start the drift towards this sort of Celtic, I mean, it's your heritage, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, when did you start kind of doing it as a job? And then at what point did it become the thing that you do?
Yeah, it kind of overtook everything, didn't it? It was like, I remember, it was very naive how it started. It was just like us at Matt's place. It's like 2 a.m. and the Rankins are playing. And we just started talking about how we want to write a song like that reminds us of home kind of thing. And then Matt wrote Him After Him. And we wrote 3 more songs and we thought they were going to be put it out as Mardine. Like we didn't even think it would be a separate thing. And then I remember we shared it with like Matt Charlton.
Yeah, I was going to say,
And shout out to Matt Charlton. We sent it to him and he really liked it. And he was just like, let's have a talk at Freeman's.
We met where deals go down.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're open late.
Yes. Yeah.
And we had a beer at Freeman's, and he was just like, you guys should do this, but like have it as a separate project. And we were just like, what? You can do that? Like,
yeah.
And kind of just went from there and kind of just took over the whole Mardine thing. We totally intended to be like 2 bands, but then it just kind of took up all of our time.
I know. Yeah. There was a moment when I think. So, okay, we did the EP with Joel,
mm-hmm.
and then and that's when we recorded it, and we were talking to Charlton, and mm-hmm. he was like, so, and then it was that period when we were doing the Village's full-length record.
Mm-hmm.
I remember writing a lot, like we were doing a lot of Martine stuff too, because we were like, we're gonna do two records at the same time. And then that first record took like how long?
It was a year.
Yeah, because we just like, you know, start like at night. Every session started at like 7 at night or something, and Thomas Stager will come over and we just like get at it, and it took forever. And just having no like, you know, in the studio, like time is money, you know, and that wasn't the thing, because we were just like, let's do it, and you know, pretty loosey-goosey.
What was taking long? Just adding things or fighting about what was what?
I think it was just the process was, we did it all in our rehearsal space, so it was just like very slow.
Yeah.
In terms of what, nothing was quick like you'd have like, you know, in a professional studio setting. And it was just like Thomas just basically donated his time to us to do it. And so, yeah, it was just a slow process.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess back to Martine, like during that whole time we were still writing songs. There's like, we recorded Martine songs that never have come out.
Just, you should send them to me.
I should. Yeah.
That's why my answer is like, there's going to be something. Because like, there's tunes.
There's a backlog.
Yeah. There's tunes, yeah.
Yeah.
But even just the difference, the way you sing, like the cadence, the type of phrasing, like that, you're playing different types of instruments. Like it's a whole different mindset. What attracted you to that mindset? Because I have to imagine the energy is so much different than the rock guitar thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, for sure. I think it's a good point, because there was moments of that when I was singing like the cadence and stuff like that with the vocals. And I picked up on it not too long ago that it's all in the rhyming schemes. It's like if the word needs to rhyme with this, I pronounce it in maybe a stronger tone or something to match versus like, you know, it's like really throwing the Cape Breton at it.
Yeah.
It's not so much that. But I know what you mean, maybe lyrically. I don't know. It's just like there is just like really tapping into the way people like that we grew up speaking, or our elders, you know, speaking and stuff, and just kind of like really appreciating that. Find it so fascinating, just like the way I just love going home and just like listening to the way our relatives speak to each other. It's just,
I think too, with your grandfather and your uncles too, or poetry is a big part of your life.
Yeah. Growing up, it was not like, I always remember like my papa was like always poetry, reading me poetry. And like every birthday was like, here's a book of poems and all this stuff. And I just kind of like tapping back into that way of speaking, you know?
It's just interesting. Yeah. Well, that goes to another point, which is that a lot of Celtic music is rooted, obviously, in tradition and storytelling and passing stories down. But you're making original stories, kind of. And I just wonder how you tap into that sort of a vibe. Like, that's not your lived experience, like, now, currently.
Right. Yeah. That's a great question. I don't know. I'm going to go Dylan on you. I don't know. Yeah.
You start smoking.
I don't know. I just... maybe it's like a fun exercise or something. It's just a very fun to be like, I want to say this, but I don't just want to say it. I want to like, you know, come around the back or something and be like, this is what I mean with that. Is that an answer?
It does, but it opens another question about songwriting.
Yeah.
Which is another Martine versus Villages question.
Okay.
Which is, do they serve the same purpose in terms of like what you're trying to say as an artist? Because for me, like, the whole reason I have a band is just to be like, here's me like expressing sadness or like this one, this same feeling. It's basically the same song over and over.
Really,
it's the same lyrical content. There's no political leanings. There's nothing about sports. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it fits in a specific, you know, box for me, but the reason that you write music as Martine and the reason you write music as Villages, are those the same?
I think I can speak lyrically, being like, Martine was just so like, I didn't honestly put like a pile of thought into lyrics. It was just like very like, it's the word like phonetics and then and rhyming scheme. And if that's
reverse engineer kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it was, I don't,
Because was it more about the melody? Like, it was more about the song
absolutely.
First?
Absolutely, melody yeah. first, and then, like, what fits in those pockets. Mm-hmm. But with this, I mean, this is the same approach in terms of, like, melody comes first. But I don't know. I'd definitely take the lyrics much more seriously with this. I do find, like you're saying, like, it's something that I want to say. Mm-hmm. Where if I, you know, dug into some Mardine lyrics, I'd be like, what? What did I say? What?
I mean, I think it also adds to the timelessness of the songs too. Like, you're trying to, there's a certain quality that you're going for where it's mm-hmm. not, you're not going to say iPhone.
Yeah, yeah, right.
In one of these songs.
Or techno, yeah. Yeah,
exactly. I texted yeah. you from the boat.
Yes, yes. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like definitely working more, much more in a box with Villages. It's like, well, these are the elements. And so we're just going to kind of stay within this frame. Whereas Mardine, we were just kind of like, just whatever we felt would do. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a big difference.
And do you have to actively put yourself in that Villages space? Whereas if Mardine was more like loose and kind of like, this is just life, we're an indie rock band. Like, do you have to go, I'm writing, we're doing Villages, and we need to put ourselves in that framework?
Not really.
I'm going to get off this track soon, I swear. I'm just very interested.
No. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to speak to it because it's just been such a gradual thing that we've been doing. It's just like, oh, well, we have Villages practice tonight, or we're writing a Mardine song tomorrow night. It's just like,
yeah.
It's kind of, I think we could just, you know, hop in and do a Mardine set like on the weekend if we want to. It'd be that easy.
You could, maybe you could.
It'd be fun. I'd love to do it. Yeah, for sure.
Matt, you once said to me, if it feels like it has salt water in its veins, that's a Villages song.
Oh, right. Really yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I did say that.
That's a good one. I like that.
So tell me about this full length. Where did you do it? What's the deal? I guess we won't see it for a while, hear it for a while.
No, not until next year, probably like spring next year, mm-hmm. hoping that's when it comes out. We work with Josh Van Tassel.
Cool.
On it. He produced it, and we recorded at Plaskett Studio in Dartmouth.
And what's it called now? The Fang?
Fang, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, right. You were in that video. I love that video that Joel put out when he did his rebranding. Yeah, super fun. Funny. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Drinking some beers. Yeah. we're mixing right now. So we're about 75% through mixing right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah.
Yep.
Feeling very good.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Cool. And are you making plans for next year? Darest you make tour plans?
Yes, I think
some offers are starting to come through. Amazing. Yeah. Yep. Like some festival stuff for next summer. And we want a tour for sure. Hopefully it happens.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And I mean, clearly you made a record, so some good came of it, but what was it hard to find the strength, the will, the interest to make music in this time?
It was actually the easiest record we've ever made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like shockingly
easy.
It just was just like a blast to do. It's what, like, the first record was very hard. And compared to like Read Less Minds or Miss You Forever, the Mardine records.
Yeah.
It was way easier. It was just a fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And having Josh on board was definitely
For sure.
A big...
I think we were all just in a really great creative space. Mm-hmm. I completely understand that thing of being like, but what are the same four walls going to inspire you? But it didn't treat us like that.
Yeah.
We really, I don't know, we had a lot of inspiration, a lot of creativity. And
I think we had 25 songs, I think, ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah. We had to like whittle it down to 12 for this record. And then we're like, you know.
Yeah.
There's stuff for the next one, but you don't want to put out a 20-song record or whatever.
Well, only if you're Lana Del Rey.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe save something when we're like 50 years old or something. Yeah. When we're old and washed.
Yeah.
So what's the makeup of your audience? Because no offense to Celtic music, but it has a coolness issue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And occasionally there's a Molly Rankin that comes out of it.
Yeah.
That happened one time. Yeah. But you guys are cool. What is your sort of audience makeup? Is it a mix?
Very mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like
every
demographic you can think of. Like, it's, well, I shouldn't say that actually, but
it
does range from like young to old for sure.
I know. Like there was a 70-year-old guy was at the, we just did a show in Lunenburg.
Yeah.
And he was like, I came to check out your show, and he was like, I liked it and there was elements I liked, but it was too punky for me.
Too punky.
So it's just weird. And then I was like, really? And then they did like a live stream, and I started watching some of it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess kind of.
It's getting heavier. It's for sure getting heavier.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's like this. The new stuff reminds me of Mardeen.
Oh.
At times, yeah.
How is it getting heavier? With instrumentation or just like vibes?
Both.
Just cranked up the vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some big vibes going on in the studio for sure. There's a lot of really heavy guitars on this one.
Like there was elements of, I don't know, just like almost like Steel Eye or like Richard and Linda Thompson vibes, almost like a Celtic folk rock or something, you know?
Yeah. More so than just the straight up Celtic of the first stuff.
And are you going to be doing any Christmas shows? I'm trying to bring all the Christmas news on this show. I'm not sure why. We broke Catherine McKellen's show like months ago.
Oh, did you?
Oh, sweet.
I don't think we're going to be doing one ourselves. No.
No, you're not going to?
No. I think it's, there's enough people out there doing one. Maybe next year. Mm. Yeah. But I think we're going to might write a Christmas song, though.
Yeah. I think we have like, we released one before.
Yeah.
And then we have two more that we just need to record. Mm.
Look at Mariah Carey. If you can an original Christmas song that hits.
See, yeah. That song is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're not already super rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can become super rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Once a year.
Yeah, yeah. That would be nice. That would be very nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so Saturday at the Marquee.
Yes.
Early stars, still? We're still doing that? Kind of? Rich O'Coin did not start early, I'll tell you that.
I think John goes on at 9.
John Samuel.
Yeah.
Okay, 9 o'clock. That's still pretty early for Halifax, not for COVID times.
Yep. Yeah.
And tickets still available as we're talking.
Yes, go out and get them.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming in. And I can't wait to hear the new record. And about that brother thing. You know what? That means I've been writing that for years, and you never. Why didn't you correct me? You don't read your own press.
No,
I know.
I think Tara. I think we talked about
this. No, we didn't.
I think I told you.
No, don't put it back on. All right, nice to see you. Nice to see you, Matt Travis, cousins, not brothers. Yeah. Take care.
See ya. Yeah.
So I am not going to close out this show without playing a Mardeen song. So here's my favorite from Read Less Minds all the way back in 2008. This is A Lot to Be Loved.
There's a place that I know called your heart, and it holds me there. Oh, it's a lot to be loved. There's a place long ago, so I'm told. It's all right. It's a lot to be.
Line is engineered by Palmer Jameson at the Golden Palm and produced by the Halifax Examiner.